God in heaven, we do again just thank you so much for this beautiful morning, Lord. Thank you for just a day set aside that we can just dedicate to worshiping you, Lord, to sitting under the teaching of your word, and to just honor you with everything that we do. We pray that this morning, Lord, we thank you so much for these words. Lord, we just thank you for your word as it has been written down and preserved, as we just got done singing about, Lord, that martyr's blood has been spilled in order to preserve it, Lord. We thank you for your preservation of it, Lord, the giving of it, Lord, and now for the reading, and we just pray that you would open our hearts to receive the understanding of it through our pastor, Pastor Craig, and just open our hearts and minds to receive it, Lord. We pray that you would be with him as he delivers this message, and we just pray that it all be glorifying to you, and it's in your son's precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. Well, today is actually, well, you know this, Palm Sunday. And it's a day when Jesus entered Jerusalem presenting himself as king. And while the message doesn't pertain to that directly, one of the things that I thought of as I looked at what Peter is talking about here is, are we treating our Lord as if he is king of our life? What priority is he in our life? In our passage here today, the word remind is used three times in these four verses, in verse 12, 13, and 15. And Peter's desire for this reminder is obviously so that we will remember. Profound, I know, right? But what does he want us to remember? Well, for starters, everything that we've just read in or went through in previous verses, everything that he said in the verses leading up to what we're looking at this morning, that we've obtained a precious, precious faith. We're now partakers of the divine nature. Can you even imagine? We're partakers of the divine nature. And as a result, we should be adding to our faith virtue, knowledge, godliness, love. We had that whole list in verses 5 through 8. And we should be diligent, Peter says. Diligent in these things so that we can have an abundant entrance into our King's kingdom. His everlasting kingdom. Through this chapter so far, we've talked about foundation. We've talked about fortification. We've talked about the fruition of our faith. And that is exactly what we've looked at. In fact, that is exactly why Peter is so diligent in his ministry of the Word of God. The Word of God must be remembered. That's our subject this morning. The Word of God must be remembered. For if the truth of God's Word is not remembered, not only will we not grow, mature in our faith, but we can be deceived. And that is exactly Peter's purpose for chapter 1, as he will be talking about deceivers when we get to chapter 2. Recently, I received several emails from Best Buy, the electronics store, telling me that the church debit card has been successfully charged for renewal of their Geek Squad tech service. And the email said, if you have any questions, call them at such and such a number. Now, because I'm fairly well versed in what the church spends money on, and because I remembered that we never signed up for such a service, I just completely ignored the emails. They're a scam. They are a scam, all right? And they wanted me to call so they can verify my information and then take our money, all right? That's what they want. It wasn't from Best Buy at all. For those of us who are not versed in how the IRS makes contact and receives payments, we could be fooled by a scam. There is an IRS scam out there. They pretend to be the IRS. They tell us we've done something wrong. They play on our emotions. They scare us with threats so that we will not look into the facts. I know people that have been scammed out of a lot of money. That's how a scam works. For those of us who are not versed in how Amazon or eBay or Facebook operates in their marketplaces, we could be scammed. However, the IRS, Amazon, eBay, Facebook have available to us, to you and I, in writing, exactly how they operate so that we can read it and know it and not be scammed. They also send written reminders to participants of how they operate so that we will not be scammed. And therefore, for those of us who do not remember, for those of us who don't pay attention to the reminders, for those of us who give into feelings of fear, we will be most susceptible to be taken advantage of. Now, currently we are talking about merely earthly goods that we can be scammed out of. Peter in our passage here is talking about heavenly abundance. Heavenly abundance that we can be cheated out of, deceived out of, if we are not well versed in what the Bible says. If we're not well versed in Scripture, if we don't know and remember the facts about what God teaches us in His words, if we don't heed the truth, you and I can be scammed. The absolute best way to identify a lie, a counterfeit, is to know the truth, to know the real thing so well that we can't be fooled. And that's why Peter is saying what he's saying in our passage today. Back in verse 9, Peter said, if we're not growing in the Word of God, it's because we've forgotten what Jesus has done for us. Back in verse 10, Peter says, if we're not growing in the Word of God, we can stumble. We can stumble. We can be deceived. Therefore, you and I, we must be diligent to grow in the faith, in virtues, in knowledge of the truth of God's word. So Peter issues this reminder here this morning in writing to you and I. All right. Look at verse 12 quickly here, and then I'll give you my first point. We'll look at it again. But he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And in our passage today, so that we will be diligent to grow in the truth, Peter points us to the truth in three ways. He points us to the truth of God's word in three ways. And here is the first. Here's the first. Peter was deliberate to remind. He was deliberate to remind. Verse 12 again, he says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. For what very reason? For what very reason? Well, the previous two verses, actually. Because diligence in the truth will keep us from stumbling, and because diligence in the truth supplies an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our King. That's the reason Peter was deliberate in reminding us of the truth. It's like he's talking to children here, okay? Tie your shoes. Tie your shoes. How many times do I have to tell you? If you tie your shoes, you won't keep on tripping, and you might even win a race. Well, if you learn and know the word, you won't fall for scams, for lies. If you learn and know the truth and are fortified in it, you'll be fruitful in life and in the next. In 1 Corinthians 3:14, the Apostle Paul says there, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And he's talking about our faith. Well, who is Peter reminding these things? Well, he's reminding those who are founded in the faith. He's talking to believers here. Peter's audience here is to you and I who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. He says they knew the truth. Presently, they knew, they know they are sinners who needed a Savior. They know that Jesus is their only salvation. They know that He gave His own life so that they could have life everlasting in the kingdom of our King. They knew the truth. They had the truth. Presently, they had put the full weight of their faith in Jesus and His work on the cross for their sins. Through faith in the blood of Christ, they were guaranteed heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul there says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He reminded those who were founded in the faith. Peter is reminding us that we have been founded in the faith. And he also reminded them then to be fortified in the faith. You see, salvation, not only, well, it is the ending. We will end saved in heaven, but it's also the beginning. Salvation is the beginning. God desires that we as believers be a living testament of Jesus to others so that they can know Him too. And we do that by, well, what we read in verses 5 through 8. Peek there for a minute. Giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And then he says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, verses 5 through 8 are these things of verse 12. And if we don't fortify our faith, not only have we forgotten what Jesus has done for us, but we might stumble, fall, be deceived, be scammed by a lie. Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And therefore, as we've been looking at kind of a tree illustration, okay, in the first part of this, Peter was diligent to remind us to grow in the Word. Because that's how we do it. That's how we're successful in God's eyes. Here's the second way Peter points us to the truth. The first way was what was it again? He was deliberate to remind. Yeah, I just need to turn around, right? He was deliberate to remind. The second way is he was determined to rouse. determined to rouse. Look at verses 13 and 14 now. 2 Peter 1, 13 and 14. Yes, I think it is right, he says, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Oftentimes I wish I could hear the inflections and intensity of the voice of those who penned the words of Scripture. For as we read these two verses, we're just reading words. But as we begin to define some specific words that are used along with the content that we find them in, I tend to think that there was some intensity here, okay? The NIV uses the word refresh, but most other translations use the word stir up. Stir up. And I think the best way to define that term is to demonstrate it for you. And so I need a helper. Marcus. Marcus, come on up here. Come on over on this side. This side here, okay? This is what the word stir up means. Face me. Okay, you ready for this? Are you ready, Marcus? All right. Marcus, wake up! Marcus, wake up! All right, I'll stop abusing you now. Go ahead, just have a seat. All right, he was warned beforehand that he was coming up here. Not that I was going to do that to him. All right. The term stir up means to rouse, and it means to wake fully, like we might do if the house were on fire in the middle of the night and we needed to wake everybody up and get them out right now. We're not just going to poke them and say, time to rise and shine, sweetie, right? Well, we're not going to do that, okay? We're going to practically drag them out of bed, waking them up and getting them out. And the reason I believe that this is an intense stirring is because Peter knew he was about to die. He knew that his last day was getting close. His days were numbered. This was his last chance to wake believers up before they died. Okay? So this was the proper thing to do. Peter says, yeah, I think this is right that I do this to you right now. Well, I think it's right as well. For there are many, many believers who don't take their King seriously. They don't take their Christian life seriously. They don't know Bible doctrine. They know, they may know what they believe, but they oftentimes don't know why they believe it. They can't defend it. And their priorities in life, I think, oftentimes demonstrate their carelessness. I'm coming to church to sit under the doctrinal teaching of God's Word should be a priority every time we meet to do so. Reading your Bible every day should be a priority. Praying without ceasing, privately, corporately, should be a priority in our life. Memorizing Scripture. Peter's talking about remembering here. I know this is convicting to me too, okay? I don't like to memorize Scripture. I like the results. I don't like the process. But memorizing Scripture should be a priority in our life. Now, Is it a rule and a command that we come to church and learn and grow every time the doors are open? No. But what else have you got to do? That's more important. These are how we grow. These should be a priority over everything else, including eating and sleeping. In Luke 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And he says, I speak this to your shame. Do you feel stirred up? I'll stop abusing you now. See, I went through this being stirred up thing a few weeks ago as I prepared this message. I'm being stirred up again right now, and it's only fair that I pass it along to you. Because Peter says, yes, I think it's right. I think it's right. This is the proper thing to do. The church needs to wake up right now. It needs to learn. It needs to grow. It needs to proclaim the truth right now. It was the pressing thing to do. Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. This tent terminology speaks of his body. The Bible uses that terminology quite a bit for the physical body. And Peter is speaking of his own physical death. The Lord had somehow shown him that his days in his physical body were soon coming to an end. His days walking and talking on this earth were about over. And therefore, he cared not about politeness and people's feelings, okay? The house is on fire. He was about to die, and he needed to get people awake before they died too. The Lord showed Peter that his days were short. He didn't know how short, only that it was soon. We don't even have that. We don't have that. We could be here another 10, 20, 80 years for some of you. Or maybe just till tomorrow. And that's why Peter was determined to rouse here. Romans 13:11, Paul puts it this way, says, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Peter was deliberate to remind. He was determined to rouse, and then lastly, Peter was diligent to record. He was diligent to record. Look at verse 15. He says, moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Hence, this letter. He wrote it down. He wrote it down. We've learned it at our house that if we want to remember anything, we need to write it down, okay? Because even then, sometimes we forget. Like lists, yeah, we'll write the list down, then forget to take it to the store, right? But if we don't write it down, we'd miss everything, all right? And so we've learned the value of a recorded message. We'll even write a note to ourselves at night, a note to ourselves in the morning, telling ourselves that we turned the dishwasher on. Because if we get up in the morning like, I don't remember, did I? So we write a note to ourselves telling ourselves that we turned the dishwasher on. That's how bad it is. It's been a couple of years ago now. I was studying a passage of Scripture. In fact, I just shared this story with someone here recently. But a couple of years ago, I was studying a passage of Scripture, and I learned something that I thought was extremely profound. Okay? It was awesome. Now, I have two purposes in telling you this story. The first is, I don't remember what it was that I learned that day now. Right? I don't remember what it was. I can't even tell you what it was. I'm forgetful. But I did write it down. But even worse was the day that I learned it as part of my studies and found this profound, awesome truth. Okay? And having just been in awe of what I just learned, I found some notes that I had taken on that passage some 10 years earlier, and in my handwriting was the very thing I thought I was just learning for the first time right there. That's sad. That is sad, but that is how forgetful we can be. And that is why Peter was so diligent to record this information for us. As he has commanded us to be diligent in verses 5 through 8 in growing and in maturity, to ensure that he is now being diligent to ensure that we will always have a remember of what those things are that we're supposed to mature in. And so he did so in two ways. He recorded in two ways. First, he repeated this knowledge. Apparently, he had told the original recipients of this letter these teachings over and over again so that they would be etched in their hearts, okay? But since we who would follow them would not have that benefit, he recorded this knowledge, wrote it down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that you and I could have it right here and right now. We are reading it today. You see, there are only two everlasting things on this planet. The first is people. We will exist forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. The second is the Word of God. It is everlasting so that we and every generation can learn about God, trust in God, and exist forever in heaven rather than hell. And that we would be. We have this so that we would be a living testimony of God's Word to those around us so that they might exist forever in heaven too. Hence this letter. And the question is, are we a living testimony? Are we a living testimony of our King? Hosanna in the highest. Do people see that in us? Are we a living testimony? Do we know and live God's Word? In conclusion here this morning, I'm going to give you a test. You ready? A test. That's right. You're getting a test this morning. I want you to answer each of these questions in your mind. I'll ask you the question, answer it in your mind, and then I'll give you the correct answer according to God's Word. And by the way, this will not determine whether we need to learn more or not. We do. But it might reveal whether we know why we believe what we believe in some very elementary areas. These are very elementary questions, okay? Elementary Bible questions. Because if we don't know these things, we could be scammed. We could be scammed. So I'm going to ask you the question. You answer it in your mind. I will give you the answer, all right? First question. Specifically, what is the gospel? You got it in your mind. If you said the good news, you're right, but that's not specific. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins according to the scriptures. If you had that answer, something very similar to that, great. Here's the next question, but this is in conjunction, and this is not a test question. This is just follow-up to this one. How do you know that's the gospel? Where would you find it in God's word? Could you show it to somebody else? And why is the gospel the only way? These are things that we should be well versed in. Because if we don't, if we're not, we could be scammed. Second question. Salvation is A, by grace, B, by our works, C, both. You got your answer? It's by grace. By grace. Follow up, how do you know it's by grace? Where would you find it in God's word to show somebody else? Because if you don't know, you could be scammed. You could be scammed. Third question. Jesus is A, God, B, half man, half God, C, fully man, fully God. You got your answer? Fully man, fully God. How do you know Jesus is fully God, fully man? Where would you find it in God's recorded word? Because if you don't know, you could be scammed. The Holy Spirit, A, is the power of God in our life. B, a figurative description of God who is spirit. C, a person. Got your answer? A person. A person. He is a person, not a people, but a person, the third person of the Godhead, who is the power of God in our life, but he's not just the power of God in our life. All right? How do you know he's a person? Where would you find information on that in God's word? Because if you don't know, you could be scammed. True or false? True or false? There could be several correct interpretations of any given passage in God's word. Got your answer? The answer is false. There is only one correct interpretation of any given scripture, and that's God's intended meaning. In fact, every Christian cult that has ever existed came about because of a misinterpretation or a man-made interpretation. And if we don't know God's meaning, we could be scammed. Last question for you. Arrange these words in order of importance concerning God's word. Faith, feeling, fact. Faith, feeling, fact. Which one's first? Which one's second? Which one's third? Got it locked in? The biblical order of importance is fact, faith, feeling. Because we are given the facts. This is the truth. This is reality. Our faith is to be in the truth. And really, how we feel about it doesn't matter at all. I kid you. Feelings are important, okay? But we are given the facts, the Bible. We have faith in the facts. And how we feel about the facts, though, has no bearing whatsoever on the facts. And I ask this last question because in the world, how one feels has become the priority. That has become one of the biggest deluders, twisters of the Word of God in our world right now. There are entire religions, cults, and movements in the world that are based upon feelings. Feelings that are contrary to the facts. Feelings that keep people from the facts. And because of the personal stories that are being told, because they tug on our emotions, our feelings, because they're tugging on us like that, the facts are being discarded, ignored, and faith is being placed in a feeling instead. That's how a scam works. That is exactly how a scam works. That is how one can be deceived. That is why Peter has been deliberate, determined, and diligent to remind us of the facts. These test questions that I've given you are elementary. You and I need a doctorate, not a worldly go-to-college doctorate. A doctorate in the truth. We need a doctorate and beyond, because if we don't, we could be scammed. It's happening. It is happening in the church right now. Wake up! Wake up! You want to come up here again, Marcus? No. All right. The Word of God must be remembered. The Word of God must be a priority over everything. Is it a rule that we come to church to learn and grow every time the doors are open? No. But what else have you got to do? That's more important. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Father, thank you for Peter's reminder here this morning. Thank you for the urgency that I believe is taking place in his heart concerning we as believers to know your word, to learn your word, to grow in your word, to mature, so that not only will we not be deceived, but Lord, that when you present yourself as king, not on the road into Jerusalem, but in the air, in the sky, that we will have an abundant entrance into your kingdom. Thank you for it. In your name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.